Now KRWG News, it's 7:45. Good morning, this is KC Counts. The Roadrunner Food Bank serves Las Cruces and many other areas in the state. And as the New Mexico News Connection's Roz Brown reports, it's marking a big anniversary this year.
A New Mexico food bank marks 40 years of operations in Albuquerque in 2020 and says it's serving more people than ever with resources that would otherwise go to waste. Most of the food rescued by the Roadrunner Food Bank is unprepared and includes bakery goods, meat, dairy, produce, canned, and dry goods. President and CEO Mag Strittmatter says millions of pounds of rescued food are picked up each year from grocery stores, food manufacturers, growers, farmers, wholesalers, and others. She says people struggling with food insecurity accept that they have to pay their rent or utility bills and often choose to go hungry instead.
So food is always that one negotiable item that people often go with less than. And the majority of people we're helping are working.
Hunger is often worse in rural areas because a lack of transportation makes it hard to get to food bank sites. It's estimated that nationwide, 37 million people experience food insecurity, meaning 1 in 10 Americans is hungry. At the same time, the Trump administration plans to reduce the SNAP or food stamp rolls by about 700,000 people early this year. A 2018 study by Hunger Free America found 25% of all children in New Mexico lived in households that can't always afford enough to eat, making the state number one for childhood food insecurity. And because New Mexico is the fifth largest state in the country in terms of geography, Strittmatter says substantial coordination among food pantries is needed to help as many as possible.
The other day it was cold here. It was 25 degrees. So people don't wait 2 and 3 hours in line for food if they are not in need.
According to foodrescue.net, more than 40% of the food in America goes to waste, including 50% of all fresh produce that is purchased and later thrown away. This is Roz Brown, New Mexico News Connection.
A deadly church shooting near Fort Worth is just the latest in a string of attacks at houses of worship. As KERA's Hadi Mawagdi reports for the Guns in America Project, that's led sanctuaries to harden their defenses.
Jimmy Meeks is a retired police officer and pastor. He spent 35 years serving communities in Texas and Oklahoma. But these days, he travels around the country conducting sheepdog seminars, calling on churchgoers to prepare for violent attacks. And he says this is his number one tip.
Wake up. If you're not awake, it doesn't matter what we tell you to do. If you sleep through the news and everything that's going on, you're not going to concern yourself with safety.
Meek's 8-hour, $75 seminars can be alarming. He says they need to be that way because most folks aren't aware of how many people were dying in places of worship.
Over 900 people have died a violent death on church and faith-based property since 1999. That number is just as high, if not higher, than school shootings. That number is higher than the number of police officers killed every year.
Those statistics come from the Deadly Force Incident Study. It's a database operated by the Faith-Based Security Network. That's a patchwork of security and law enforcement professionals hoping to make faith-based organizations safe. David Riggle has the same goal.
We put them through a basic combat pistol class, an intermediate pistol class, and an advanced pistol class. We also do.
Riggle's been a police officer in Texas for 16 years. He's also the founder of a company that trains volunteers to be part of church security teams. His workshops across Texas last 4 weekends and include active threat training, hand-to-hand combat skills, and life-saving medical coaching.
We actually do in-service training every 6 months after the academy, make them stay sharp on their skills, or we'll pull their license and not let them work anymore. So they have to continue that education.
Riggle points out shootings like the one at West Freeway Church of Christ usually end within moments, long before police can arrive. His training helps volunteers fill in the gap. The White Settlement Church used a similar training program.
And the type of people that have been put in front of me love it. I mean, they've got a heart for protection. They got a heart for God. They want to do what's right. They know that they could die doing this, and it doesn't bother them.
Brad Orsini says it's crucial to have trained security like Jack Wilson, the church member who shot the gunman in White Settlement. Orsini has firsthand experience. He's the director of security for the Jewish Federation of Greater Pittsburgh, and he responded last fall when the shooting began at the Tree of Life Synagogue.
We don't want the first time that people have to react is in a real-time situation, right? We want to be able to develop good protocols and procedures where it's instinctual. We build muscle memory inside the brains of all of our congregants, so if something bad happens, they know how to react.
That muscle memory saves lives. 11 people died last October 25th in Pittsburgh, but survivors said training on things like escape routes saved countless lives. Still, Orsini has concerns.
Guns are not always the answer. It's a layered security approach that we must push into every one of our houses of worship. They all need to collectively be working.
His top priorities? Securing entry points, teaching escape protocols, and having an armed presence so a sanctuary can really be a sanctuary. I'm Hadi Mawagdi in Fort Worth.
Find these stories and more under the KRWG News section at krwg.org.